If you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 4. Tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 35 through 41. This is our final installment in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark as we continue our study through the New Testament. Currently, again, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. If you're taking notes, or if you're going to look at this video later in the archive section, this message I have entitled, In the Same Boat. In the same boat. And this has a lot of applications, but tonight we'll see a few things specifically that we can glean from this passage of Scripture. Now, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, let's read the 35th verse together. On the same day, it says, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Stop right there. Now, have you ever wondered what the disciples must have been thinking when they're hanging around Jesus and there's always something going on? There's always something happening. Even when they don't expect it, there's some like side-winding curve that comes flying through, you know, right across the strike zone, so to speak. And Jesus was always working. He was always thinking ahead. He wasn't so much thinking ahead that he couldn't deal with what was happening presently because he dealt with the present needs. We know that God is a present help in time of need. So immediately God, through his son Jesus Christ, God's son, working. But then he was thinking in the future. He knew what was ahead. He was on a mission to go and accomplish what his father had sent him to accomplish. And so after teaching his disciples, remember we looked at chapter 4, the parable of the different types of soil that the gospel falls upon, whether it's bad soil or good soil or choked out or burned out. We see that now he explains the parables and then he goes in and we saw four mini sermonettes last week. And then now he says, guys, let's go across the other side. The other side of what? This is the Sea of Galilee. He says, let's cross over to the other side. Jesus knew that something was coming. He knew what lies ahead. God is always working, even when we don't see it. I think most of the time, we don't see God working in our lives. We don't see it. We don't notice it. You know, it's not till maybe like years down the road we'll look back and say, man, I used to be like that. I can't believe that God changed me and he washed me and he forgave me. I can tell you right now, I'm not the same person that I was 8, 9, 10 years ago. Thank God for that. The people that know me are like, thank God for that. Same for you too. You know, it's like that God changes us and he makes us more like him and less like us. I remember John the Baptist, when you read in the book of John, John the Baptist, not the author, that was John the Beloved, the disciple, but John, the disciple, records John the Baptist saying, Jesus, pointing him out, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes and says, being confident, which means like you can take this to the bank. Even this, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the moment that you put your faith in Jesus, the moment that you said, you know what, no longer am I going to do my will, but I'm going to do his will. The moment, maybe even some of you, I don't know, maybe you made a profession of faith on a Monday night and you heard the gospel. That moment where you said, you know what, I have sinned. I am separated from God and I want to turn from that. That when that very moment that you turn from your sin, which is called in biblical terms, a spiritual term is repent, repentance, go 180 degrees in the opposite direction, that the Lord begins a work in your life. And all of a sudden, whether you like it or not, or notice or not, he'll start rooting things out. You know, God doesn't phase us out of sin, does he? Have you ever noticed that? That it's not like, let's take the next step of not being so, no, it's like, rip it out. You know, like that, let's just get to the root of the problem, literally. It's not like, let's pull out one little straw at a time. You know, it's like, rip it out. And that can be relationships, it can be habits, it can be lifestyles, it can be a whole host of things where all of a sudden you see, man, God starts working immediately and he doesn't stop. Even this, and this can be kind of maybe not the ideal situation, is when the Lord's working in your heart and in your life, but you're fighting against it. and you're battling against it, and you know what you should be doing, but the flesh dies hard. I mean, that's really, it dies harder than Bruce Willis. Seriously, like, you have a hard time saying no to the flesh. You have a hard time saying no to the things that you used to do and that you've done forever. Like, maybe you'd even look back and say, I can't even remember when I have done, you know, whatever this sin was. And then you start fighting against it. But even when you don't like it and you're fighting against it, even when you're faithless, even when we're faithless, God still is faithful. And that's why he says you can be confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. I'm glad that it's not on me to change me. I'm glad that it's the Lord that makes me more like him and not me that makes me. Because if it were me that makes me, I would not be anything close to where I should be. And so we see it's the Lord working in his followers' lives. And so the disciples, we think of them as like way up here on these, just on these pedestals. Man, that's Peter and James and guys, they were normal people just like you and me. They had the same battles, same struggles, same difficulties. They made mistakes. So Jesus, and we say as the church now, in 2013, wow, okay, the Lord's working in me. Well, the Lord was working in his disciples' lives as well. And so as he is taking them alongside, discipling them, showing these disciples, these men, how he does what he does, he's also doing a work in their lives. And this is what is happening. Jesus tells them on verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, let us cross over to the other side. And it says in verse 36, Mark 4, if you're reading along, and I encourage you, if you have a Bible, please read it. If you have a Bible app, please open it. Now, it says in verse 36, when they had left the multitude, they left the people that Jesus was ministering to, and if you would underline these three words in your Bible or highlight them, whatever you prefer, even if you want to lean over to the person next to you and highlight it in their Bible for them, you can do that. It said, underline in verse 36, took him along. And now I'm reading from the New King James Version, but it says in verse 36, if we read this in context, so you can see the fluidity, of this sentence, it says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. So underline, took him along. And the other little boats were also with him. I just like to make a small note. Taking Jesus along in their boat was a smart thing, period. A lot of times we think that Jesus, we can leave him behind, like we would ditch our kid brother or something when we're growing up. Like Jesus, actually, him being with us is a good thing. But it also brings condemnation when we're going and doing sinful things, thinking that we check Jesus out, you know, or check Jesus in rather at church and then left him there on Sunday and get to live whichever way we want until the following Sunday. These guys took Jesus along with them in their boat. That is a smart thing. Now, if you could pick anybody to have in your boat, I would pick Jesus. Jesus, you'll be in my boat. Come on, Jesus, you're with me. You're with me. I think in your families, having Jesus in your family is a smart thing. I think having Jesus in your business is a smart thing. I think having Jesus in your life is a smart thing. I want Jesus involved with what I am doing. I want him in my boat. I want him with me. This is an excellent choice to make. In verse 37, it says, Mark chapter 4, a great windstorm arose. So now they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into that boat like a drum. They beat on that ship so that it was already filling. I don't consider myself any bit of a seafarer. Pretty much the closest thing that I get to that is a surf. That's about it. But you get me on a boat and it starts rocking back and forth, I get a little seasick. You know, that might be a little wimpy. Sorry, man, I can't handle everything. The thing is just that makes me sick. And I really don't like it. And I mean, I haven't been on a cruise, I haven't been on anything, but I get motion sickness really bad. I don't know why. I used to never, ever, ever be sick on anything until I was in high school. And I remember going to Magic Mountain. And I was scarred for life after one day there. I remember the last ride of the day. It was an old ride, too. If you remember this ride called Revolution, it just has two little loops. And I remember I was had ridden all day, no problems. And then on the last ride of the day, oh, let's go do Revolution. And all of a sudden, when it was up the first loop, I looked up when I was really looking down. And then another loop. And then for like a week straight, I was like, my equilibrium was all off. I was just nauseous. I was jacked. And so I couldn't do that. I mean, now I go on the merry-go-round with my son, and I got to hold on to the pole like real tight, you know. Oh, Lord, please help me. Start sweating, you know. And so this kind of thing, I don't actually know why I just shared that last part, but this kind of thing, when they're in the boat, great, and the waves are just beating on that ship. And actually, because of the geography of the city, where, well, actually the Sea of Galilee and the city surrounding it, you'll get like really, really high altitudes and then really, really deep, like below sea level depths. And so you get this weird mixture of weathers that will come together and smash right on the Sea of Galilee and cause really, really bad storms. And so these guys who are fishermen, many of them have been out on the sea, are no doubt familiar with this type of weather. They're just getting beat. The boat is filling with water, it says, so that it was already filling in verse 37. And they start tripping out. They start, I mean, like I would too, but they forget. They forget even what the Old Testament scriptures would say about God's faithfulness and about fearing. Because I feel like for us too, that we find ourselves in situations where our boat's filling up, the waves are beating, the circumstances of life are just smashing us to pieces. And we start wondering, okay, is God faithful? Is God listening to me? Does God care? Is God aware? In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, this is an Old Testament passage that says, be strong and of good courage. And maybe that's enough for some of you here tonight. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says this specifically. Make a little mental note of this. He says, guys, we're going to the other side. We are going to the other side. They get in the middle of the sea, and the waves start beating down on them, and they start freaking out. And let me just tell you this, when Jesus tells us you're going to the other side, you better believe that you'll get there. Some of you are like, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to the other side. The afterlife, that's what's happening. I'm going to cross over to what happens after you die. No, listen, Jesus is in the boat. He said it, you're going to make it. He tells his guys, we're going to the other side. So no matter what happens in the interim between point A and point B, we are pushing through it. We are going over it, around it. Whatever we need to do, we are getting to the other side. God's calling is more solid than our common sense. You might think, well, this just doesn't make sense. Well, let me tell you, God's sovereignty, his plan, his calling is more solid than what you can figure out, than what I can understand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own little pea brain. Sorry, that doesn't say that. I'm just adding a paraphrase. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding. We have such a limited understanding of what the big picture is. So the Lord says, don't lean on what you think's happening. Don't trust in what you think's, you know, really happening behind the scenes. Proverbs goes on to say, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I'll direct your path. So the things that you don't see and that you don't get, this is where faith kicks in. Man, I don't see it, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but God, you promised. I know that you're faithful. And it says in verse 38, Mark chapter 4, that as this storm was pounding on these guys in their ships, and their ships were filling with water, it says, but Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him. So Jesus is asleep. I mean, I just had to think about that for a second. Here's these guys getting battered to death, and Jesus is at perfect peace. We're going to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side. And they awoke him. Jesus! Jesus! You know, shaking them like a rag doll, Jesus. He says, they say, don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? I remember telling that story, and forgive me if you've already heard it. If you have not, then you can be up to speed with everything. A couple years ago, actually 3 years ago, I was in the Bahamas, and flying home, we got in a really bad storm. And our plane got struck with lightning, and we started dropping, and it was just really, really like, I mean, for the motion sickness guy, yeah, okay, I'm just like hanging on as we're dropping, you know, my stomach was just, I was so sick, and I really didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. I mean, I didn't know if Lost Season 7 was about to start or what, you know, and so I'm falling, you know, and I'm like confessing any sins that Lord, please forgive me of any sins, Lord, of whatever, you know, and the people behind me that were clearly not Christians, I mean, I know this because they're just foul mouths and all this, they were the ones screaming, Jesus, save us, Jesus, you know, and it's ironic how that can happen where, you know, you find yourself in a place where you're at the end of your rope, and then it's like, Jesus! You know, I've even had stories relayed to me of guys that were in car accidents, and you know, as they're flipping upside down, don't believe in God, but they call out Jesus, Jesus, save me, like that, because there's something down deep inside where you call on the name of Jesus, but it's actually, most people don't even know that that's biblical. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what that means is, first of all, saying saved from your sin. So you call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved from your sin. The penalty of sin is death, but Jesus Christ came that he would save his people from their sins. And that's a good thing. So we see for us today, if the Lord says, fear not, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that means when you're walking in the middle of the fire, when your ship is about to sink, you think. When you think that you can't withstand the storms of this life any longer, Jesus is like, hey, everything is under control. But then the flip side of that too, remember how I said how God's always doing this work. Like Jesus and his disciples, they're ministering to people, but then he's also training up his guys. So Jesus knew the storm was coming, but he's like, hey, we're going across the other side. And the thing that's obviously speculative, but if we were like doing a weather report, who knows if there would have been the conditions for a bad storm on the Sea of Galilee to begin with. A lot of the storms would come up suddenly, but what if there were bad conditions? And the Lord says, we're going to the other side. And some of us think, you mean we're going right through the middle of the storm? Lord, wouldn't it make more sense for us just to go around it? Or to go over it? Or Lord, let's dig under it. Let's do whatever not through it, Lord. But the Lord doesn't necessarily take that path of least resistance. When we are actually in the middle of the storm, so to speak, or when we're pushing hard against resistance, something's happening to us. Something's happening to you and me, and to our character, to our faith. It's being refined, it's being tested, it's being strengthened, it's being challenged. The Lord takes his disciples right through the middle of a terrible storm. And for some of us, we might think, well, Lord, why would you allow me to suffer like this? Or why would you allow me to go through this difficulty? Or why would you allow it to be so hard, God? If you really loved me, if you really cared about me, if you were really concerned with me, why would you allow this? The same thing that the disciples said in verse 38 is the same thing that we find ourselves saying today. Jesus, don't you care that I'm dying? Jesus, don't you see what's going on with me? Hello, don't you know I need you? We're drowning here. Our boat is sinking. I think many of us think that God doesn't care sometimes. Because if he did, then he would do what we would do, and that would be immediately get me out of this difficult circumstance. Immediately remove me from this trying situation. In verse 39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Just like that, Jesus demonstrated his power over the natural elements, over the conditions that were unfavorable But what happened to the disciples during that time? What happens to you and me during that time where we think we're added up to here? For those of you listening on the radio, it means you're up to your eyes. Like you don't even know how you're going to take your next breath. What is happening? What's going on? In 1 Peter, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, begin reading in verse 6. It says this, and I'll catch you up as you're turning there. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You don't need to raise your hand, but are any of you here tonight grieved by various trials? He says, you rejoice in this, verse 7, 1 Peter 1, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, 1 Peter 1, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Something happens when we go through the fire. You know, you've seen those metal workers, goldsmith, those that are working with precious metal, even like metal and things to make swords and things that are hard, very strong, durable metals that are being beat and refined and put in the fire and heated up and pulled out, then beat again in order to get this fine instrument that cannot be destroyed. This faith that works out in our lives through these difficult times is exactly that. Something that gets refined and strengthened so that it actually is more precious than any amount of money on the face of this earth, that it brings glory and praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Listen, I think we could all say, man, I just want to have an easy life and have no problems. Well, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. That's the reality of it. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So whether it's mental or emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it may be, you're going through this time where you think, Lord, don't you care that I am dying? Listen, God knows what's going on in your life. He knows the storm that you're in. And at the right time, it'll be over. You know, my wife Ruth and me, we've had a really, really difficult time, just on a personal note, with my daughter. She's 2.5 years old and she's had a lot of physical problems. We've had, you know, a lot of just concern and doctors saying she's going to die and that she's never going to walk and all this kind of stuff that's going on with her. And you know, and then sleepless nights, I'm not even exaggerating, where she would sleep maybe 2 hours a day, you know, and you string months and years of that together and you feel like, I don't even know how I can survive. And then, you know, you get to the point where you go to bed at night and you try to just pray before you go to bed. And the moment you pray, like the kids wake up at the same time, you know, just crazy types of stuff that's happening where you just get stretched. Sometimes people look at the guy up on the stage like, oh, that's the pastor. He never has any problems. Man, I wish I could be like, listen, I'm just a normal person. And I have my own things that I battle with and struggle with, but I can tell you from personal experience that when I was going through, and I feel like the Lord's getting me through this and getting Ruth through this with me as well, where, you know, when you're up from like 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., and you're just like trying to take care of a baby that's inconsolable and just, you know, just going through all these types of things. Some of you might be able to understand having a special needs child, but it's one of those things where you sit there and you stop. You go without sleeping for a long time and then you just change. Like you turn into a different person. I mean, some of you are like that after one day, you know, but try like, you know, months and a year. And the next thing you know, you're going like, Lord, do you hear my prayers? Lord, what's going on here? And you better believe that Satan wants to come in and to test me. Yeah, God's not concerned with you. He doesn't care about you. He's not listening to your prayers. When you might be thinking, God, why don't you hear my prayers? Why don't you listen to what? Aren't you? Listen, I'm telling you because I've been there and I've been through it and we're working through it. But let me tell you, when that heat gets turned up to the right temperature, all of this stuff starts coming to the surface. Things that you had no idea were even there. You start seeing the true colors of your life. When the heat gets turned up, it's like that precious metal, that gold being refined, and it's in that cauldron, and the heat gets turned up so to that right temperature where the impurities start percolating to the top so the goldsmith could scoop them out and make that metal pure. I'm telling you, I've been in that place where stuff just starts percolating to the top. You know, I used to have a really bad temper and used to be a hothead in certain things when I was in college and sports and like that. And I thought that that stuff was gone. But all of a sudden, you know, I haven't felt that in a long time. Where's that coming from? Well, listen, the Lord knew what was going on in my heart. He knew even things that I didn't even know were even there. But the Lord, remember at the very beginning when I said that he is faithful to complete the work which he started in you? Even when you may not like the means, but let me tell you, you turn the heat up, the flesh starts coming out. And I remember one night I just broke and I was like, God, please, I don't want these things in my life. Those things would have never come to the surface unless my life, so to speak, got heated up to the right temperature. So when the Lord sees a storm coming and he doesn't circumvent it, he goes right through it. What's happening in our lives? I can tell you right now that Ruth and me are more like Jesus because of our daughter than we ever were before. And the Lord has used that little girl in making her mommy and daddy more like Jesus. And we love her. Her name's Ava, and she's the most beautiful, precious little two-year-old that you'll ever meet. And we love her. And we're going to therapy 3 times a week, and she's got her little walker, and she's wearing leg braces, and she's doing the whole thing. And she's working hard, and she's doing it. And I know that God's going to continue to be with her, to be with my family, and to give us grace. But I'm telling you, life is not a bed of roses. Life requires perseverance and endurance. And the Lord has not forsaken me. He has not forsaken my family. He's with us and he's strengthening us and he's helping us. And so for you that might be going through those circumstances that are difficult and you're questioning God, you're like, Lord, I don't even think I'm going to follow the Lord anymore. I'm just going to go do my own thing. Listen, God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Persevere, hang on, because he is greater. He is greater than those things. I remember in John chapter 9, verse 7 and on. It's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. There's a story of a man that was born blind from birth. And his disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said this, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. The Lord Jesus ended up healing that man that was born blind, and the work of God was revealed through his life. And so what we see in our lives today, that even the impediments, the failures, the shortcomings, the handicaps, the things that we feel like, man, I don't think I'm ever going to make it through this, are actually going to be used for the furtherance of God's work in my life and through my life, that it might bring glory to the Lord. And so this is what's happening here in this storm with these disciples, the followers of Jesus. In verse 40, he says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The Lord got them through it. But we're all like that. We can't, you know, throw the book at the disciples when we're like that too. Jesus will show his faithfulness. He'll give us his promises through his word. But then yet we'll be like, Lord, don't you care that I'm about to die? Lord, where are you? And we think that he has not been true to his word, that he has forsaken us when he said he never will. Interesting to note, the storm didn't disturb Jesus, but his disciples' lack of faith did. Jesus told them that they were going to the other side, and you better believe you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And furthermore, there's no ship going down that Jesus is in. He said, how come you guys have no faith? Why are you so fearful? The Lord tells us in his word that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we need to hang on to those things. We need to persevere through the trials and the difficulties. Because I guarantee you, every single one of you, including myself, listening on the radio, watching online, have difficulties, have problems. And you know Satan, being the opportunist that he is going to sneak in and say, God doesn't care about you. He's left you. Look at all those other people. They're blessed and you're not. You know, why don't you just go back to the ways of the world? Because it was better over there. Then look what God's offering you and look what this world. You were really happy over it, but you weren't. You weren't. It's all lies. Don't believe the lies of Satan. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So he said to them, why are you so fearful, Mark 40, verse 40? How is it that you have no faith? Man, Jesus just rebuked the storm and said, hey, stop blowing, stop raining, waves stop rolling, done. Peace. Probably could hear little birds chirping in the background. You know, it's like the epitome of the peaceful serenity. And the disciples are like, go from being drenched and just soaked in salt water to like Jesus saying, why are you guys so scared? I'm right here with you. And then it says, then they feared exceedingly in verse 41 and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? You better believe that's who's on our side. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's who is with you to the very end. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's in the same boat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. And we thank you, God, that even though, Lord, we can cry out and think that you don't care about us and that you're not concerned with our lives. And Lord, we've had some very bad things. All of us have. This world is a very difficult and bad and evil place, Lord. It is. We know that there's a lot of things that happen, Lord, that go against, Lord, your plan. Lord, that freedom of choice and to be able to make your own decisions also gives people the opportunity to act evil, act in an evil manner, Lord. And we pray, God, as those here tonight or listening or watching might be experiencing great difficulties, Lord. Maybe they feel like they are going down. Lord, I pray, God, that you would show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, I pray, God, that you would encourage your church, Lord, to not compromise, to not lose faith, to not lose hope. Lord, that they would continue to fight the good fight, to run that race with endurance, to run that race to win, to finish the course, to keep the faith, to fight the good fight. So Lord, I pray for any, Lord, that were here specifically just to hear these things, Lord, to be encouraged, that they would be encouraged. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we also lift up those who may have joined us, Lord, tonight that do not know you, Jesus Christ, personally as their Lord and Savior. Lord, maybe tonight they've come in wondering, what is this Jesus thing all about, Lord? Maybe, Lord, they've been searching. Maybe they know about you, Lord, but they've never put their faith in you. They've never turned from their sin. Lord, tonight I pray that they would, that they would receive forgiveness of their sins, Lord. Please help them. And if there are some that have walked away, and maybe you're even using a storm, Lord, to get them back on course, I pray that they would humble themselves, confess their sin, and be forgiven and start a new relationship with you tonight. And so, Lord, we pray for those that need you this evening, Lord, that they would respond to the gospel going out, which is Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. That whoever would believe in him and put their faith in him would not pay the price for their own sins and live condemned for eternity, but would have everlasting life, to be made new and whole, to be washed and cleansed. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sins to make that possible for us tonight. And Lord, we pray for any that need to come back to you, Lord, that they would not be guilt-tripped away from you, but they would be convicted by you, drawn to you. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, that may have just tuned in on the radio or Maybe they're watching from wherever they're watching, Lord, or maybe they're here tonight and they do not know you, that tonight they would confess their sins to you, be forgiven, and start a new walk with you.